Let's lift your hands and pray. Let's pray the Spirit. Allow the Lord to prepare your heart. Allow the Lord to prepare your heart. Awesome teachings. Awesome teachings. What a blessing. Lord, make me ready. 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 We bless your name. This awesome privilege, this great blessing, our lives will not be the same again. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Clap your hands for Jesus. Hallelujah. No city shall be too strong. Do we believe it? Or do we believe it? No city shall be too strong. God is turning us into fierce territory takers. And in Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 2. The Lord spake unto me, saying, verse 3. Ye have compassed this mountain long enough. Can we have the scriptures? Ye have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn you northward. How many of us are turning? Turning. Hallelujah. And Bishop told us, going around in circles is a reason why many do not do well. And I think it is something we ourselves must continually look into our lives for. Amen. Yeah, because that tendency is very, very real. Just go back and forth, up and down, doing the same thing. You know, was it during the session people were talking about going to work and coming? Go to work, come. I mean, we say these things, you know, that when people are not Christians or they don't go to church, you know, all they do is home, work, once a while to do some groceries and then home, work. Yes, but we fail to see that this can also befall us as pastors and as church members and as Christians and as people who are serving God, that you can also just be, you know, Sunday, weekday service, just routine. Amen. But there's always a northward direction God wants us to move to. There's always something new to do to break that cycle. Yes, and it is that excitement many of us need in the ministry. We need it in our Christian lives. Is it because at a certain point, you will find it boring. You will find such movements boring. I mean, every Sunday, the same thing. The same suits, the same hat, the same church members. You know, even the members, when you look at their faces for a long time, I mean, you can get depressed. Yeah, the same members, you can tell. When a member doesn't come to church, you can tell. Oh, Rosie is absent. Alex didn't come. You know where they sit. And they themselves are so used to where they sit that if you know, no usher wants to usher any member to that chair. Yeah. And it leads to staleness and stagnation. Do you see? I think it is time for us to bring new members into the church. Yeah, new faces. And for that to happen, we have to go out. Yes, we have to go out. That northward direction is always stepping out of the church to do something new, something you've not done before. And I believe that this is what God is telling us to do in this conference. To take a city, you can't take it from inside the church. Yes. It says, if you are going to possess the land, going around in circles will not work. Monotony. And he said, we also need to accept the fact that we are going around in circles. You know, don't wait for someone to tell you. You will even feel insulted or you will feel bad. You yourself should see that, what I'm doing is just the same thing over and over and over again. And I love this verse 5. You know, then Bishop began to take us into areas. Verse 5. Meddle not with them, for I will not give you of their land. No, not so much as a foot's breadth, because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau for a possession. Amen. What is in verse 4? Verse 4. And command thou the people, saying, ye are to pass through the coasts of your brethren, the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir, and they shall be afraid of you. Take ye good heed unto yourselves, therefore. So God was directing them away from that monotony. But the first port was this Mount Seir. And he said, it's not for you. It's not for you. You know, sometimes we believers, and especially even pastors, shepherds, leaders, want to do the things unbelievers are doing. We want to live the lives. Because, you see, it's nice and it's tempting. Sometimes you even feel you are not normal when you cut certain things off your life. So, I mean, let's just get into what others are doing. You know, wear the things they are wearing. Live the way they are living. Party the way they are partying. You know? And I believe that God wants us to come out of those things. And commit ourselves. He said, meddle not. Look at verse 5. Meddle not with them. May God show us things we must not meddle with. It's very, very important. It's very important. Sometimes we even see things other churches are doing. And we just want to import them into our lives, into our churches. And there's no basis for what you are doing just because you saw it on television. Meddle not. Tell your neighbor, meddle not. And it's a strong warning. It's a strong exhortation. You know, for us to even have the spirituality to know things we must not touch. And sometimes it's not even, you know, sinful things. I mean, what we call sin. Those top five. Stealing, drinking, smoking, fornication, and all those things. God wants us, even within our church work, you know, to know things which are not our portion. Meddle not. Verse 6. Ye shall buy meat. Let me. Are you there in verse 6?
Yeah.
What is it saying? Ye shall buy meat of them for money, that ye may eat. And ye shall also buy water of them for money, that ye may drink. For the Lord thy God, verse 7, hath blessed thee in all the world, the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness, and so forth. Verse 8, and when we pass by from our brethren, the children of Esau, which dwelt in Seir, through the way of the plain from Elath and from Ezion Geber, we turned and passed by the way of the wilderness of Moab. And the Lord said unto me, verse 9, distress not the Moabites, neither contend with them in battle, for I will not give thee of their land for a possession, because I have given Ar unto the children of Lot for a possession. The Emims dwelt therein in times past, a people great and many and tall as the Anakims, which also were accounted giants as the Anakims, but the Moabites called them Emims. Do not meddle with them. Verse 9, do not distress them. Hallelujah. And we need, as pastors and church workers, even now in our lives, to know things which should not be part of the work we are doing. Sometimes even things which worked in the past. You know, a way of doing church work in the past, today will not work. Or even if it will work, we have moved on. We've moved on. One pastor went, or a brother went to some of our churches in Accra. He left First Love for a reason and went to, you know, have something to do in some of our churches. And when he came back, Bishop asked him how he found the churches he visited. I mean, how was church? How was it there? He said, oh, they were like Orthodox churches. Yes. They were like, compared to the First Love church he's in. Do you see? It's like we've moved away from a certain way of doing things. But there are pastors who are still meddling with certain things. Who are still in the past. When we come to your church, there is nothing that looks like even Bishop Dagwood Mills is your pastor. Or even the church you are pastoring is in the UD. Yeah. Today, our children are doing outreaches. They are going out, winning souls. Even if that was not your way of being a church member some time ago, today, you must adopt it.
Yeah.
Yes, you must adopt it.
Yeah.
And that is how our churches will grow. That's how our churches will increase. There are branches which have existed for 7 years and have never grown. Have never grown. 20 members for 5 years. I can't calculate the yearly growth. 20 members for 5 years and so on. And it's all because we are not even seeking to follow the Father. You know, that's why last night's message was very powerful.
Yeah.
That, I mean, to follow the teacher, to see Bishop as our teacher, to see him as our pastor, to see him as our prophet. Let's go back to the Isaiah 30:20 scripture. That is a very, very powerful verse. Isaiah 30:20. Meddle not. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore. If we take our phones and we inspect podcasts, we may easily not find Bishop's podcast on some of our phones. Yeah, but we may find T.D. Jakes or some yoga podcast or some bizarre new world type of teaching. Yes. He said, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. And I will add, thine ears shall hear thine teachers. Yes. Your ears should hear your teachers. That is how to survive. That's how to do well. And everyone here should catch the spirit. Yes. And go back into our churches and transmit them, because some of our churches do not even look like a UD church. Yeah, they look strange. They look dry. They look unanointed. They look very foreign. Was it Bishop Saki who said that he went to a church. Yes, recently. Went, yeah, recently there was a meeting. So like I said, he went to a church. He saw our churches, one of our lighthouse churches. They have a table with a bell on it. Yay! A bell. Bell as in kalai, kalai. I don't know what they are doing with the bell. Even if the table and the bell were part of the furniture in the room you rented, you should move it away. You should move it away. We are not Pentecost. Yes, but you see, but the point I'm making is that we must deliberately, intentionally, actively follow. There's a type of following that will not come naturally. Yes. The only natural thing we will tend to follow will be sin and evil and lustful things. Those ones are very natural. Yes. Nobody prays about wanting to fornicate or wanting to have some feelings. I mean, rather we pray them away. But if you want good things and great things in the ministry, it must be active, deliberate, actively taking the podcast, actively listening. And the word is that do not meddle with certain things. You see, the fact that it is working for Glorious International Ministries, Greengrass Incorporated, Church of God, Overseas Ministries, does not mean that it works for you as a UD. Yeah. And we tend to be fascinated by strange things. Strange things. And they're like children. There are pastors who are like children. Most children don't enjoy what is in their homes. I took my little son, about 5 years, on visitation. We went to a church member's house, and his kids were watching cable TV. And I didn't have cable TV in my house. So they were there. And I was also with the parents chatting. So after an hour or two, I sent someone to go and call my son that we are going to the next house. He said, he won't come. I was wondering, did he talk to my son? I said, my son. I came with my son. He's there. He went and said, he won't come. So I went inside there. So what is happening? Let's go. I said, no. I said, why? He said, we don't have cartoons at home. And he has got cartoons. So I said, if you don't get up, I'll slap you. He wants to live in that house. You want to live in whose house? Do they pay your school fees? Do they know how you came about? But there are pastors like that also. Is that you are easily enamored by things you watch on television, ways of ministering, ways of pastoring, but you have a pastor, you have a teacher, and you have taken him off your eyes, and your eyes are on some very strange things. Meddling with interesting things you must not even get involved in. Now, in the UD, we have shabby shepherding must go. SSMG, about 16 campaigns, which are changing by the week. Some of us, some of us are in the past. If I ask you to list the campaigns in Shabby Shepherding Must Go, you are going to mention some very, medieval Stone Age campaigns, which we have moved away from. And the problem is that we do not take the time to deliberately keep our teachers in front of us, before our eyes, in view, watching them, listening to them, following them. And in this new dispensation, that is how we... You see, the fact that we are in Canada or America or so does not mean that we are cursed with small numbers. Because if you cast your mind back, the city you are in, where you came from, there are large churches there. Yes, there are big churches in every city. Every city has big churches. And you can decide to join those ones. You can decide to do what they do. I mean, not what they do as in how they got the big church, but decide to also have a big church like that. The fact that you are in, where are we? I don't even know where we are. Calgary or Kananaskis. Kananaskis. Or Toronto. Toronto. What? Etobicoke. Is it tongues or English language? It's a city on earth. Yes. I mean, the new generation of churches we are going to have, you young ones, don't follow the churches which are 20 members and 30. And so, believe God to pastor 500. Yes, 400, 1,000. Yeah, it's possible. It's possible. It's very possible. If some pastor was here, he would have a big church. And we have examples to follow. Even First Love, where Bishop pastors. It was originally a small church. It had been pastor. It was a church. It was a church. Which had existed for years. Most of our missionaries and pastors and so on all came from Alos then. It was a church. But there were few. Then a certain type of pastor took over that church. You see, And that's the point I'm making, that you can decide to be a different type of pastor. You can decide to change your ways. You can decide to adopt a new way of doing something. That's why I said, take your way north. Follow north. Go north. It's also a certain direction. It's also a vector quantity. Moving around in circles is also a type of movement. But there's a time God says, it's enough. It's enough of doing church with 30 members, 40 members, 50 members. It's enough. Tell your friend, it's enough. It's enough. Enough of using camps as your yearly social outing. And begin to see a camp as a place you are coming to catch a spirit, catch an anointing, come for some fire in you to serve God as a Christian. It's enough. Always, you see, what you want to change, you change it. You force and change it. But when it comes to the work of God, we just settle for anything. And sometimes we do that not with an evil mind. You feel, oh, that is, I mean, you are doing church. You're not destroying the church. But a lot of the things we are doing are cyclical movements which must end. Which must end. If all of us kept our eyes on what our Father is doing in Accra, our churches will be different. Oh, yes. Or you don't believe it? Okay. Let me find out. Is that a curse on churches in America, North America, Canada? That it should be 15? 40? There's no curse. So what is the problem?
We are not keeping our teachers in front of us.
Oh, I think so. The reason is that we are not keeping out. Think about it. If Bishop was the pastor of the Kananaskis Church, or which church? Calgary. Do you think it will be that type of church? It's a way of doing things. One of the First Love pastors moved to a part of Accra to start a bar center, a place called OSU. OSU. It's a part of Accra. Accra, Ghana. Yes. It's like Shono. OSU. He went to do outreach on Saturday. First time ever he's gone there to start. Saturday. Sunday morning, the following day, within 12 hours, he carried 24 people on a bus. Wow. Pastor, I will not lie to you. Wow. Especially a man with white beard. I can't lie to you. I should be afraid of even how you look. I can't lie to you. 24. Then that was Sunday. Then it was Monday, Wednesday, Tuesday, I think Wednesday or Thursday, they also have what we call center services. First time, number one center service. He called me. He said he had 58 members. First center service. And in the same Accra, maybe not in Osiu or some another place, some people have been there for 2 years and not having 40 members. You see, the numbers we have here in America, Canada, and so on, it exists in Accra. You see, that's what I'm saying. It's not where you are, but it is who you are. It's not where you are. There are churches, UD churches with signboards, 10 years, 40 members. We have meetings all the time. We go through it. And this is the time for us to move north and change our round and round the garden type of ministry we are doing. Hallelujah. Clap your hands for Jesus. Round and round. Do you believe that things can change? Do you believe that things can change? In Accra, you can... There are big churches in Accra. There are big churches in Calgary. There are big churches in Canada. Or here, there are only 20 member churches. 50 members only. If you have 100, you'll be arrested. Oh, we are breaking out of this type of way of doing church. Amen. And the next time somebody enters your church, the person will know that you have a close relationship with First Love Church. Yeah. You may be a QFC, but the spirit in the church is not QFC, but it is the Father spirit. And that is what we must look for. And rather not meddle with old things, ancient ways of building a church. Ancient, some of us in our churches, there's no outreach. There's no outreach. There's no, but when you go to First Love, you don't find that there. They are out there on Saturdays, moving around. Sometimes they go 5 hours outreaches. 5 hours. If only we are prepared to move north, things will change in our lives. Yeah. Clap your hands for Jesus. You may be seated. Meddle not with them. Distress them not. Then eventually they came to the place and said, God said, this is what I have given you. The land of Sihon the Amorite. Go and possess it. And we also know clearly the type of church God has given us. The type of church God has given us is not the 15, 10, 20 members. It is a big church. Or you are inferior. Are you inferior? No. You're not inferior. Can you do it?
Yes.
Can your church grow?
Yes.
Can your church become big?
Yes.
Dancing stars?
Yes.
Choirs? Different choirs,
yes.
New members.
Yes.
Can we see new members every Sunday?
Yes.
And they will not come unless we have gone out to bring them to church in cars. May God help us. Yes. Clap your hands for Jesus. Our daddy is in. Yes, shout. Clap your hands and let's receive Bishop to bless us this afternoon. Oh, it's evening.